As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Pot It Together podcast. I'm Nicole and I'm joined by my beautiful, lovely, wonderful co-hosts, Adam and Becky.
Hello.
Wow. Do you really feel that way about us after you just roasted us?
Yeah.
That had to make up for it.
We knew it was coming because we heard, "You guys know I love you, right?"
Yes, that instantly shiver down my spine. What did we do wrong this time? My mind instantly went to, "We've been replying to your texts. Like, what? We did the business hour. Like, I thought we were doing so good, but apparently it was something else."
It's really not that big of a deal. I was telling them there were some sounds in the last episode, which now I'm noticing my volume is peaking quite a bit.
So maybe it's good to test our mics every time.
Maybe it's good. Okay, that's better.
Okay, wait. Before we get into it, I was just looking at my penis cactus, and there's spikes at the base. Do you see the spikes, like, down here?
Oh,
but
yeah.
Not on the wait. Oh, fuck, I didn't see that one. Yeah. I just stuck my finger straight
into
it.
I saw it as you went in for it. I'm like, wait, what are you doing?
Well,
not on the
it.
Shaft.
There is one on the shaft, I guess. Maybe, but look, it's a double peen.
Maybe he's got ingrown hairs from shaving the shaft.
Well, I'm scared.
There's that explicit button that we gotta.
Hey, welcome back. We actually just announced today on Instagram that season 8's back. Everybody was very concerned.
Yeah.
What's
up? We're not gonna just drop off the face of the planet and
We would not. No. What is, though, our topic for today before we get too far?
Yeah. The topic for today. Listen, we're a little rusty, okay? We took a 5-month break. Okay, we're a little rusty.
Five months?
Was it that long?
Or 4 months. Four months. I apologize.
I think it was three. December.
November, December, January, February.
We were in November.
Okay. Mid-November, right?
Yeah.
December, January, February. Three.
Okay. Three and a half. Okay. So
5 months. Almost half a year.
We're still a little rusty. Our topic for today is each other convincing the others what genus they should love, right? That's not the topic. Yeah, something along those lines. You saw the title.
Convincing you to like our favorite genus.
That's right.
Wait, who are we convincing? Are we convincing our audience or each other?
D, all of the above.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect. So let's do a little catch up, a little catchy catch. We saw each other last week. We spoke about this on Patreon. So if you're a patron, thank you. We love you. You've probably heard this, but I thought we could talk a little bit more about our event, because I feel like we didn't go into detail about the event and where we were at and all that. So let's chat a little bit about that.
Yeah. So we held it at the West Bottoms Plant Company in Kansas City, Missouri, which was a gorgeous shop. I mean, if you are in the Kansas City area, I would say within like 3 hours, it's worth it. It is worth a visit. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of plants, but they also do a lot of, have a lot of local artists and artists in general with their stuff there. So like, it's the best place to buy gifts for anybody.
Really?
I mean,
a
truly.
Lot of novelty gifts, a lot of funny gifts.
Vintage. There was like a lot of vintage clothes.
Yeah, I saw that. Just fun stuff. And then West Bottoms Plant Co., they have a candle company, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, and the candles are amazing.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, so so delicious.
And then we also did some crafts. They have an ADH DIY craft cafe, which is, for one, such a cute name for a craft bar.
It is.
Like, as I was looking around at everybody doing their crafts, because we had quite a few people come to visit us, but then there were also guests that had reserved spots there. And it was like moms and daughters, friends, couples. It was so cute. And it's such a good idea for like a little date night.
Yeah.
100%.
Super fun. I always see Pottery Studios do like a wheel throwing date night. But can you imagine? I feel like that'd be so bad for my relationship. Because wheel throwing is so hard. I feel like I'd be like, get your man hands out of there. I want to do it. Like, I think it would just... I think we would fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, see, I did that once.
Did you?
With my ex. And she was an art teacher and ceramicist. So, like, she knew what she was doing. And the guy teaching the class also knew her either from, like, some professional way. He completely ignored us the entire time. Because he was like, oh, well, she knows what she's doing. And she did know what she was doing. But you know who didn't know that they were doing? Me.
You.
You know who didn't get any help? Me. I made, like, an ashtray. And that's only because I it was like, well, that's as far up as I could make it, was an ashtray height.
Yeah.
It was awful.
I'm intrigued to take a class.
Now that I think of it, an ashtray would actually be really easy to make. Because you just pull at the side slightly, and then you can make little indents, right? For the little
cigarette.
Well, we're not promoting smoking.
To say, I would like to say, though, that we were at the De La Casa, and I got to physically hold in my hands a pot that Becca created.
Oh, yeah.
And for her to talk in this podcast about how bad she was, I'm like, fuck off. This pot, I would have never, if you would have lined it up with all of these amazing purchased ceramicist pots, I would never have been able to pick it out of the line. That's the one Becca created.
No, genuinely.
Yeah.
I was shocked.
So gross. Why do you have to be so good at things?
Oh, God. It was like the singular good thing I made.
And then she was like, oh, well, I'll bring you my worst one. And I looked at it and I was like, still looks great.
I wish that I made more things, but I was really, I'm a perfectionist. So I wasn't really grinding out the pots. And I really should have, but I was just like, oh, it's not perfect. I need to redo it. And I wish I didn't do that because I wasted, like, I didn't even use my whole clay thing. Like, it just got put back into the clay recycling.
The recycles,
I'm going to look into a class in Chicago and see. There's got to be some. I want to take a class.
There is definitely some.
1,000%. Yeah.
Oh, and you could do it with Mia. That would be cute.
That would be, she would like that, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
She would like that. I'm kind of bummed because after seeing everybody making candles at the craft cafe, I kind of wanted to do that, but then they had mentioned that, you know, they might not be cured in time, but that is something I would like to do, is pour a candle. I love that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess we should really kind of talk about that real quick, but like basically the ADH DIY cafe, you can make reservations for tons of different options to think, like you can build a terrarium, you can make macrame, you can do embroidery, you can make a candle, a stamp, a wall weaving.
Yeah.
And they all have like
dried floral arrangement.
Tutorials and stuff. And so it's basically like that paint your own pottery, but like way better because there's so many different options to do.
Yeah.
But the candle one in particular, they did say that they need a day to cure. Yeah. So like if you're just visiting Kansas City, I think it would be smart to make an early reservation. And then hopefully by the end of the day, you could pick it up and it'd be, you know, ready to travel. If not, they said they would ship it. But it was really cool to see the people like making candles, and they smelled delicious.
Yes.
Yeah. The one that you brought out a couple candles, Adam, and one of them, the one that you gave me, smells so good. It's like planty, but in like an herbal, I don't know. It smells really good. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. It's like a good summer candle.
It was. Yeah. Green tea something. But the cafe, busy the whole time. So really snag your reservations if you're going to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it was great that we all just got to hang out and kind of like make stuff while chatting. So it wasn't just like awkward standing and staring at each other.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. It was the perfect location to do it at.
Yeah,
I think.
Absolutely.
And Tristan and Austin, the owners, were so sweet. Was like, anytime you want to come back, like if we're ever in Kansas City again, that'll be the spot for sure. But I really like, I feel like I want to go back because I didn't get to thoroughly look at everything there. I didn't want to be rude and like walk away from our guests and like go shopping. So like the last 10 minutes or so, I would just kind of like beelined and was like looking for a t-shirt, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But
which you got a really cute t-shirt.
I did. I love it. And I can't remember the designer's name. Shoot.
And you wore it the next day.
I did. I was dedicated.
Without washing. And I was like, who is she?
Okay. So I thought of this as I was putting it on. And I was like, I wonder if they wash their clothes before wearing them, like new clothes. I never do.
No.
I don't now that I have my own rules. But when I was in under my mom's rules, it was a must. She was like, you are not putting that shirt on until I wash it.
Okay.
And I was like, but I want to wear it like now because I just bought it.
Yeah. If we go thrifting, we'll wash our clothes before we wear them.
Yeah.
But like, and when I think about that, I'm like, well, I guess that makes sense. But also people are touching the clothes on the rack too, like at regular stores.
So yeah.
It might be a good idea, but
the reason I don't is because what if I want to return it? You definitely can't return it after you wash it.
That's true.
I'm not a big proponent for returning things. I always forget or just like feel bad, so I don't. Mm-hmm. But like, you really can't return it if you wash it. But if you keep the tags and you just wear it. But if it smells like clothing dye, then I wash it. Or you know when they smell like, they just have a certain smell sometimes.
Yeah.
Like they just came out of the package.
Yeah. But clothes from like, for example, Altered State, where you got your sweater, Adam, it probably smelled like perfume. They probably smelled amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You'll never have to wash that thing.
Nope. Oh, I love that sweater so much.
It's such a cute sweater. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Altered State. Wow. I did not put that together, though, about the whole like alter thing.
Yeah,
I know.
There's like a whole section in there that's like Bibles and stuff like that. I don't know if it was in that specific store, but I've been to other locations where they had like a whole section like, if he'll take you to it, he'll get you through it. Like that kind of stuff. Yeah, that kind of merch. Okay.
Live, laugh, love.
Yeah.
Me and Mia go there often because it's just such a cute store. And she's looked for like winter formal and homecoming dresses there before. But every time we walk into one, they're usually playing Christian music, you know, and everybody. And it's just very.
Spirit, lead me where my dress is in your heart.
There you go. That's the one. And when we were in Altered State in Colombia, Adam was like, oh, altered, because it's alter apostrophe D state. And that's the first time I've ever noticed that.
Mm.
I was like, why is it spelled that way?
Connecting.
Duh. The altar. Yeah. Okay. But not like that song, Oceans, that you just sang.
Triggered.
Not that we like listen to worship music now, but the Spanish version of that song is very beautiful.
Is it?
If you ever feel inclined. Okay. Yeah, it's really, really, really beautiful in Spanish. I dated a Spanish speaking individual, so that's why I know. It's really beautiful.
But Christian music is beautiful, though. And that's how, you know, get into that. It is really, it is. Like, I can get down with some Lauren Daigle. Okay.
Oh, she's great.
She's awesome. Yes. It's, did you guys see, or have you ever seen this like joke online where it's like, oh, I thought that I was like having all these experiences with God, but then I just realized I like live music.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly like, it.
You go to a mega church and they have this whole production and you're like, I'm actually just going to a concert and that's why I feel this way.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was pretty crazy to realize.
That's how they reel you in.
Yeah. Not to dog on other people's spiritual experiences, but like for me, that's what it was. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I know. So we were sitting at our event and Olivia was sitting next to me. And I went just making small chat, and she said something about church, and I was like, oh, do you still belong to a church? Like, are you still going? She's like, yeah, I do. And I was like, I'm so sorry for everything I've ever said. Because she's so sweet and kind, she was not offended by anything, but I was just like, I don't think about, because I'm just talking to my two best friends. Like, I don't think about the fact that other people are listening to this, and that I've been like, oh. Fuck church.
Trauma dump.
Oh gosh.
Hey, everybody's had their experiences, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, Olivia was so sweet. Everybody was sweet. Everybody that came out, we had a few people drive pretty far, which, you know, imposter syndrome really takes full effect when that happens. It's like,
yeah.
For us?
Yeah. Totally. There was three people that drove like more than 5 hours. Like,
yeah.
Bless you all.
People from Wisconsin, Oklahoma. I mean, it's just, it's a huge honor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was fun.
And we can't wait to do it again. And there might or might not be something in the works already. Yay. Maybe.
Okay. But like now that you guys are.
One of us hasn't confirmed that yet. No, I'm just kidding.
I am still like in my shutdown after vacation. Like my bags are still unpacked.
Are still packed. Okay. You mean packed?
Packed. Yeah. They're still packed.
Yeah.
I took my necessities out of them, like the teeth and the skincare, but that's it.
Yeah.
Not done anything else. I've ignored it. And I have to keep it closed because I'm afraid that Mai Tai is going to go pee on it because he is sniffing things like crazy because of Cooper and Leo. Like he is all up in.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
He is just.
My dogs were pissed.
Yeah.
They're like, who is he? We all have, well, you also have Jazzy, but we all have male dogs.
Yeah. True.
This is maybe slightly sexist towards female dogs, but I just have never really vibed with female dogs. I don't know what that says about me. I'm not a pick me in any way, but that I'm like, why do I feel that way about female dogs? Are they? Do you notice a difference between Jazzy and Prime's demeanor, like just based on gender or sex or whatever?
Oh, yeah. And I feel like a female dog and a male dog get along better genuinely than like two dogs of the same sex because I feel like there's more competition and dominance with the same sex dog. But Jazzy's, I feel like Jazzy's a little bit more loyal. Than Prime, really? To be honest. Yeah. I mean, Prime would tear someone the fuck up if they came in the house and tried to do anything to us. Jazzy would probably lick them to death. Prime would probably run away. Jazzy would stay by us.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I don't know. But I do notice a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just... When not... This is such a blanket statement, but like... Is it a red flag when a guy has a female dog? Maybe.
I don't think so. Why is that a red flag? Why is
it
a red
flag? Gives me an ick. I don't know why. It's not. I don't really know.
Oh my gosh, we gotta put on that TikTok where they like scroll over to the ick note and scroll down to like cannot own a female dog.
Yeah. No, I think I grew up with mostly male dogs though, and we had one female dog who was like obsessed with my dad and like no one else, and I was like, what the hell?
Oh, so there's some generational trauma there. Yeah.
I'm jaded. Yeah. But I don't know. I feel like in all aspects I'd prefer to be with women except maybe dogs. I don't know.
Okay.
I need
okay.
to get over that. My next dog will be a girl. I'll take care of that. I'll put that on myself to fix that and get another dog.
Well, okay. You did birth a girl.
You did.
I did, and it's the best.
Okay, so there we go.
So I'm not a pick me.
You're wearing your sweater from Elizabeth.
I just am. Noticed.
Is it cozy so AF? Because it looks so cozy.
It's so cozy. I love it so much. It just fits perfect. It's so comfortable. And
yeah. 'Tis the season. It's back to winter. We recorded last night a Patreon episode, and it was quite literally hot outside in the Midwest, like Arizona hot. And woke up this morning and it was 24 degrees.
Yeah.
So we're back in the tundra.
And you had a tornado.
Tornado. There was a tornado last night. So the tornado did not land in Palatine. It touched ground in the town over from us, Barrington, but it went past us. So like they were showing the wind speeds and Palatine was like number one. I think we had like 84 mile per hour winds.
Thanks.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, which I'm shocked we didn't have more damage. I'm not complaining, but I'm shocked that we didn't have more trees down. Like, I took Mia to school this morning and there wasn't a lot of damage. So I was kind of shocked by that. Because that's some high wind speeds, you know?
Yeah.
It's really high.
Yeah. Wow. But we made it out and now it's back to winter. So, the sweater's appropriate.
It is. It was chilly this morning. Chilly in my house. Daniel said, do you want to start a fire? I'm like, what? Ooh. For the singular day, it's going to be cold. I don't think it's worth it.
You're like, it's the end of winter.
Yeah. But you know what? Like, I am so shocked because usually we're still using the fire. We usually stop in March, but we stopped in January, a whole month early.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I feel like there were a couple times that we could have used a fire.
Okay, you guys were cold at my house and you didn't say anything.
I was looking for a blanket because I'd be fine with just a blanket. But then the only one was your like heated blanket. I think it had like a cord and I didn't want to grab it.
And it smells like dog.
Oh, does it?
Oh. Well, Adam, okay.
I wasn't that cold. It was not uncomfortable cold. If I was uncomfortable, I would have said something.
Yeah, well, and I'm always cold and I'm always hot, so I love to be cold. So I appreciated the temperature in your home.
Yeah. I definitely, in hindsight, should have had more blankies out. I don't know where all of ours are. I feel like they all needed to be washed because my kid was sick and throwing up on everything. Maybe that's why they weren't out. Yeah. Normally I have blankets out. I don't know.
I appreciate that too.
Do you want to use the pukey blankie?
But every time I touch a blanket, I just hear, now we fold the blanket so we feel better about ourselves, which is what Cole, like literally at the Airbnb, looked me in the face and go, now we fold our blankets. And I was like, okay, mom.
Oh,
there were throw blankets on the couch and you can't go to bed with the couch in disarray.
I do every single day.
Yeah, same.
And I am
my
fine.
Couch is are you, still it's looking
are
bad.
You sleeping on the couch?
No.
Oh. Well, I'm shocked that you're not folding your blankets at home after we had this discussion 5 nights in a row. I'm shocked, but I digress. Well, all right, should we get into our topic? On that note,
this episode's kind of awkward.
I'm feeling awkward.
Let's get into the topic.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
To start, should we just bounce off? Well, like, go back and forth?
Not back and forth. I think we all need to plead our case.
Yeah, I think we all need to plead our case. There needs to be some sort of rebuttal because we have to play devil's advocate. Even though I hate when people play devil's advocate, we got to do it right now.
Yeah.
To like bring up the cons and then somebody and then whoever is defending the case can be like, well, here's my response to that. And then that'll be it. What do we think of that?
Okay.
Well, I mean, I think that's great. I wasn't ready for court, but we'll do it.
Okay.
I'm scared.
I'm scared.
Okay. Oh,
should we start?
Who wants to go first?
I'll go first if you guys
want.
Like
Adam should go first.
Okay.
Okay. Adam's gonna tell us what genus should we love.
Okay. I knew she was muting so she could eat. I knew it. She's like,
listen,
Adam can
I feel
go first.
And
she grips
out.
Her microphone with both hands, and I know she's pressing the mute button, and then all of a sudden, Nature Valley just creeps in.
When is Nature Valley going to sponsor me? I eat like 6 of these a day.
They're so good.
It's like, I only eat like probably 2 anyway.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, today, just kidding. So it's no secret that my favorite genus is Hoya. Like, mm-hmm. Absolutely no secret whatsoever. And I think that they should be everybody's favorite plant.
Why?
And
there's
still a lot of Hoya haters out in the world. Okay. For one, what is one of the most, to you guys, and I'm asking you this question, what is one of the most fulfilling things that your plant can do for you?
I know where you're going with this.
Put out new leaves.
Okay. Yeah. You guys both say grow.
Yes.
Okay. I know what you think you wanted us to say,
and
but
that's
it doesn't
why you didn't
apply.
Say it. That's why you didn't.
Because it doesn't
say
apply
it.
To most houseplants. That's why I didn't say it.
Right.
Well, flower.
But it applies
okay.
to Hoya.
Out of all of the houseplants, Hoya have the best flower. I would think. Right? Can you think of another houseplant that has the best flower?
Anthurium. I'm not a big fan.
No, begonias have a cool flower.
They do.
Okay.
But it's not the same as Hoya. Hoya is definitely much more impactful.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So strike that from the record, Judge. Thank you. Grow. What's my other point here? So, Becca, we helped you with your plant chores while we were there because we finally had the opportunity to help. Out of all of the plants that you had, what was the one genus that didn't get tossed out?
Oh, shit.
Okay, I see the point you're making, but you're incorrect because we did throw out one.
We did throw out one.
Okay, one was... Oh, yeah.
One was like shriveled.
It looked like
AF.
Hey.
Okay, Hoya. Okay. Hoya fared very well. They looked good still. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's basically my main argument. I feel like Hoya really do stand up to some shit. They stand up to my depression. They stand up to my apathy. And they just sit there, hang out until I'm ready. And I did find out that through my research and stuff for Let's Talk Hoya, that Hoya have these different photosynthesis methods. And they can slip into this thing called cam idling, which basically just shuts down the whole plant when they're in a period of like drought and just harsh times. So basically just the plant just completely shuts down. I don't want to say dormant, but it's like it's called cam idling and it will not start photosynthesizing again and doing the whole exchange of carbon until it like receives water or is rehydrated. So like I had a cutting of a Finlaysonii for like 3 months. And I never did anything with it. It was just sitting on my shelf, not in anything. It was just, I cut it and just laid it down.
Really?
That thing, as soon as I put it in some soil and gave it some water, perked right back up and started growing.
Wow. 3 months.
Yeah. And the leaves were like flimsy. It was like a piece of paper.
Wow.
So what's the difference with that and what my princess was doing.
The princess. Maybe we should have tried, but I don't think we even attempted.
Well, I
don't
feel
know
like,
if it was coming back, though. I really don't.
I feel like once you get to the point of dry rot, it's kind of hard to bring it back. And I think that that's what it was, probably dry rot.
I
but
think
like
that,
he said he just took a cutting.
Yeah.
Didn't have any roots.
I think the big difference is the stem, because the stem on your princess was wrinkly, mm-hmm. which to me was like, oh, no, that's not coming back. Because once the stem has started to die back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're not going to think about princess. Just kidding.
I'll send you a cutting. But mine has flat mite, so maybe I won't.
Keep it.
Keep it. I think that Hoya have beautiful foliage. I think that they have beautiful flowers, and they really can go longer periods than most plants can without being cared for and still, you know, alive and happy. So that is basically my main argument for Hoya. A secondary argument, not specifically for the genus Hoya, but they do visually tell you when they want water. Like, it's a very easy to know when a Hoya needs to be watered. And I love the simplicity of that, of a plant that kind of can show you its needs and communicate that.
Yeah.
Any arguments?
No, but I feel like I need to help you with one. Can I add to your argument? Am I allowed to do that?
Yeah, you can.
Okay. Because it's not a competition, is it?
No.
Well, okay. Okay.
I was hoping for a competition. I'm kidding.
Hoya also do well in multiple mediums. Like, you could grow them in soil. You could grow them in pond. You could grow them in leca. You can't really do that with a lot of plants. You can, but it's not ideal for some.
Yeah, if you're doing stuff like passive hydro, Hoya don't need a huge pot size. That's another thing. They do not need huge pot sizes. Like, I think my biggest Hoya is in like a 5-inch pot. And that's the biggest it's ever going to be. I'm never going to up pot it into a different one. The root system isn't like aeroids in leca, aeroids in pond. It goes insane. Syngonium, within a couple weeks, you're going to be like, oh, there's roots coming out of everywhere. You don't get that with Hoya. So that is a good thing to mention. They're very versatile.
Yes. Mm. Okay. Good argument. That was good.
Mm-hmm. Downside, flat mites.
I was going to say, that is the thing that I was going to bring up, because it's one of those pests. It's like, you don't know you have it until you like have a microscope, or you're just like looking at the symptoms.
Yeah.
Chlamydomites. We've had this chat many times.
Yes.
But not on Maine. Well, we have, but I wanted to say on Maine, Becca's Hoya have zero mites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She cured them.
Zero.
At some point, or they just never. No, you had to have cured them, because I know that the things I gave you had mites on them, because mine did after I gave them to you.
Yeah. I had them for sure at some point. And hey, the spray down with Captain Jack's might have been the thing to cure it. But as we were looking through my collection, we were like, personally was like, okay, well, this one probably has it because it's not growing. Okay, well, it didn't have it, so it's just me. But it's just hard to know. Like, I was certain that they had it and then they didn't.
I do think at some point they did, so I truly think that maybe you did find a easier cure for it with the Captain Jacks, because your Dakiae did have the growth pattern of what would signal as mites. It was like a stacked aborted growth points, and then now it had the leaf at the top of it. So I'm like,
something fishy was going on.
Good news,
but that's
there.
A huge con, because probably everybody has them and doesn't know.
Yeah.
Do we think that more plants have flat mites, or do we think that flat mite just really love the woody stems? Hoya.
I have seen them on all kinds of plants, but I don't know if they would be on those plants. The Hoya weren't in that collection. I mean, I don't think that they're specific to Hoya, but that's where we started to find them.
I haven't taken my microscope.
That is a big
to my
con.
Cactus collection. Yeah, it's a big con. I haven't taken my microscope to my cactus and like succulent collection, and I'm just wondering if, you know, they're there. Mm. It's a possibility.
I know that they've been on orchids before. Like, it's a, I don't know if it's just like epiphytes they stick to. I know orchids. Hoya. Yeah, they can be on any plant, but.
Okay.
Here's a fun fact about Hoya that maybe you can confirm or deny. I'm pretty sure that Hoya are related to, what's that plant that butterflies like for monarchs?
Milkweed.
Milkweed.
Yeah.
Milkweed flowers. We have a native milkweed here that grows, and the flower looks exactly like a Hoya flower. And then I started looking into it, and I found out they're related.
Yeah. Oh. They do look very similar. Because I was actually trying to look up milkweed pollination to help me figure out how to pollinate my Hoya.
Oh.
But haven't really tried.
Could you capture, like, okay, maybe this sounds a bit out of pocket here. Could you put Hoyas that are blooming, like ready to be fertilized or whatever it is, in a bin and get some moths? And put the moths in there.
Oh, shit.
And probably.
Like, force it to happen, like, through that. Is that? Has anyone ever done that?
Experiment.
Maybe people have done it. I don't know. I mean, lots of people have their Hoyas start getting pollinated outside, you know? It would be a fun experiment to try, though. I don't know where I would find a moth. The only thing that makes me nervous about that is that I've known friends that had a moth get into their house, and, like, the moth literally eight almost whole plants. Hoya leaves. Yeah.
Holy shit. Well, then you wouldn't be able to do that.
So I guess if you have a bigger Hoya that you can lose a few leaves, that's fine.
They eat? I guess moths like eat clothes. That's like a funny thought. Maybe if you provide them with food aside from the Hoya, or you raise them in captivity so the other moths can't tell it to eat the leaf.
Raise it from a little babe.
What you got to do. You got to get some cocoons. You got to treat them like your own babies, all right? You feed them, and they never have to know that in the wild.
They'll never know.
Works for dogs.
Exactly. Yeah. Some people have pet tigers. You can tame them off.
You can tame them off.
You could tame a moth.
Oh, God.
That is a really funny thought. We in elementary school, we raised mandukas, which is it's the same caterpillar, the hornworm caterpillar, the big green ones on your tomato plants. Mm-hmm. We raised them and they turn into moths.
Mm.
Wow. Look at that.
Okay, side note. Caterpillars do freak me out because they basically boil down to like what's called a primordial ooze and then rebuild themselves into a butterfly.
Inside of that, like, cocoon?
Yeah. But it's like, does the ooze retain memories and that kind of stuff? That's what scientists are trying to figure out. But it's just like a weird process. Like, because they wrap themselves in their cocoon and then like goo and then butterfly.
They goo.
Anyway, so who wants to start convincing next? Who's next up?
Well, do we think that Adam did a good job?
No, I don't.
I think so.
I really don't. I'm regretting it.
Here's me trying to make it a competition. No, you did great. That was really good. That was a good argument for Hoya. It makes me want to love Hoya more. But as you guys saw in my collection, they just don't really grow. So I think I need to administer more water and maybe then I will see better results. But like at this point, I like them, but I'm not obsessed because it's just not the same results I get with other plants.
I think though, your pot sizes are too big, and I didn't want to be like, oh, you need to do this and this, because I don't want you to like be in chores. The ones on the shelf are fine, but like the ones you had hanging up on the wall, the pot sizes were too big for basically all of them. Not your obovata, that's a huge plant, but like the other ones, I feel like they just need to be this size pot, like the ones that were in like a 5 or 6 inch. I think they were too big for the size of that Hoya.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
We should do a plant chores video together, Adam, where you just tell me what to do. I just need to be told what to do because I don't know. Clearly what I'm doing is not working, you know? Like,
yeah.
No.
I'm open to suggestions all around.
Yeah. Hoya, I think that you would really love your Hoya more if, you downsize some of your pots, but also just fertilize and wipe off your leaves, like cleaning off your leaves. It's very on brand. Will help your leaves grow.
Yeah. You're right.
You're right. But I'm excited to just see what happens in the next couple months for that specific Hoya shelf. And I think that's what we need to like keep in our brains to have updates on, because I really do think that is going to start popping off here soon.
Yeah, I hope so.
But also, like, you do have some beautiful Hoya. Mm-hmm. So I don't want you to, like, make our audience think that your Hoya all look like shit, because they don't.
No, you're compacta, swoon.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's really loony. Pretty.
Yeah.
It's just they've looked like that for 4 years. There's been no change. Okay. And I've had them, most of them, for a very long time. And they should be, like, quadruple, if not 10 times the size. You know what I mean? So I'm just like, what the fuck is happening? Like,
I think we all look at Adam's collection and we get a little down on ourselves.
We compare.
We compare.
I think I need to get you a different piece of the fishtail Hoya. Why am I drawing a blank?
Polyera.
Because I don't know if I like the clone that you have.
It's weird, huh?
It is. It grows weird. So I think I want to get you. That's what I got to put in a list for a Becca box. Because I want you to. Because I have an outer variegated one now, Broget, which is like a silvery splashed one. Mm-hmm. We'll just get you all the polyneuras.
Okay. I love a silver splash moment.
Oh, yes.
Mm. I love it. I don't have any Hoya that have silver splash. Your eyes just got huge. Think
that
about
makes
it.
Me sad. I don't have any. That's what I was. I was like looking. In my head, you don't.
Yeah.
Mm, you need some silver splash.
We do.
We do. Okay. Nicole, do you want to convince?
Sure. Okay. My genus that I'm going to convince you guys all to love and get is cacti, of course. Because, listen, some would argue that cacti only grow well in drier climates and like the desert. And yes, while they do, that's true. But I've had cactus for quite a long time. My collection has downsized greatly just because of life. But at one point I had like over 50 cactus in Chicago without grow lights. Okay. On my teak bench. I looked back at those photos not that long ago and I was like, oh, I kind of missed that thing. It broke. I need to get another one. But they were just in front of a window, south facing, and once I gave them grow lights, they did much better. But I kept them alive for like 2 years, and they grew every summer, and they're just beautiful to have. They're beautiful to have. Rewarding, okay? Here's my argument with the reward that you get with a cactus. Or I guess you could throw euphorbia in this category too, because there are slow growers. But when they do grow, that sense of fulfillment you get is just, it's wonderful. And let's talk a little bit about blooms, okay? Because you mentioned the blooms. Cactus have some beautiful blooms. Sometimes the blooms are bigger than the actual plant. I think we've all had cactus bloom before.
Mm-hmm.
What's the one plant that you have in your backyard, Adam, that we repotted with tiny hands or blindfolded?
The stack of dicks?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
That is the official name.
The mammillaria. Mm-hmm. But when that one blooms, it does look like a girl from Coachella asking for Coke.
Because it's a crown. It makes a little crown.
Little flower crown.
That's like, right.
Got some Coke.
Got some Coke.
A girl asking for Coke.
Okay. So, and cactus. It's very easy to like, you kind of save money with having a cacti collection because you don't have to repot them as frequently.
Mm-hmm.
You can use stones in your soil. So you're not using a ton of soil, you know, additives in there, and they don't require watering as much. So if you have a really busy life and you travel a lot, cactus, it's a great option.
But what do they require the most of?
Sun.
Light. So you do have to have a special setup.
You do have to have a special setup. Okay, but I did say that I had my cactus in a window for 2 whole years. If you're not looking for them to grow quickly, they'll do just fine in a window. And arguably, I want to say any window because I had them throughout my house before. But yes, once I gave them grow lights, it was like, okay, some of these don't even fit on my shelf anymore. They did really well. I also had them on heat mats, which is another expense. So possibly another con. Mm. And they were much happier on heat mat, grow mats, heat mats.
Do you notice your flowers? I wanted to ask you about the cactus flowers. Do they only open at night for you? Because some of my outside flowers are only at night. They only open at night, which is a bummer. Yeah, like the spiralis, the big flower that comes off of that only happens at night.
Yeah.
And my opuntia, it's like the purple one, Rosita, bright yellow flowers, but they only fully open at night. In the daytime, they kind of close up.
I didn't know that. I mean, I do have a couple that only open at certain times, but one of mine, I think it's a mammillaria. It opens during the day.
Mm.
I wonder if the night blooming thing has something to do with moths as well.
Maybe. Yeah.
Oh, wait. No, maybe. I think that they're pollinated by bats. A lot of cactus are.
A lot of saguaros are, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think I knew that. But that's a cool thing to think that little bats are on my cacti outside.
It's so cute.
Now, tactile wise, do you love caressing your cactus, Nicole?
Listen, no. That would probably be a con unless you're a freak and you like things like that. I put together a reel from our trip, and in one of the sections, it's just Adam caressing this rat tail cactus and saying, it's so soft. And you could see him like say it, mouth out the words. And I'm just like, no, it's absolutely not soft. There's little daggers down there. I don't need to caress my cactus. Looking at them gives me enough joy.
Yeah.
But if you're that kind of person,
They are beautiful.
They are beautiful.
They are. Okay. You don't bring them outside in the summer anymore, do you?
I did last summer, but I'm debating on not doing it this summer. It's a lot of work to bring them outside. They do love it outside, though. So, like, am I a bad plant parent if I don't? Probably.
No, I wouldn't say so. I feel like it's less work to put them outside because then they get watered when it rains and I don't have to worry about it at all.
Yeah, you're right. True.
But I also don't have like a grow light set up indoors for them, so I would feel guilty having them inside.
See, I would still water my cactus outside because they're all in terracotta pots for the most part. And it's really windy here, so they dry out pretty quickly. So even on days that it doesn't rain, I would find myself watering them like every other day, which sounds like a lot, but they're not in a ground landscape. So they need more water, in my opinion. But I'm watering the garden and like the florals we have outside anyway. So it's not like it's an extra step. I'm doing it already.
Yeah.
But it's bringing them from downstairs, upstairs, and outside. And then, like, it's always fun bringing them outside in the spring. It's always fun setting it up. But bringing them in the fall, I just feel like it's like the worst part of collecting houseplants for me. Because I don't know. I just freak out about bringing in bugs and having to repot because they outgrew the pots. And, like, it's a lot. But they do love it out there. They really do.
Also, Hoya and cactus, if they're dying, they take a long time to fully die. So, like, if you're just wanting some greenery, it'll stick around for a while.
Yeah.
Looking fine for a while. You know?
A con, though, with some cacti, though, is that once you get, like,
Nicole, you're supposed to be convincing us. Nara's supposed to be telling us cons.
I know. Okay. Never mind. No, I'm not going to say it. Once they get like root rot or a dry rot, they do tend to shrivel up pretty quickly. And then you're like, what the fuck happened?
Yeah.
Like if you overwater or underwater, if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, they will be like, meow, and just fall over. And that's always fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love them so much. And pretty much every time I go to a plant shop, I really try to get a new one, which I have been doing lately. And I didn't do in Kansas City, and I'm kind of bummed that I didn't. But I didn't see anything that jumped out at me that I was like, I need to have that. So what do you guys think?
Good argument. Good argument. Cacti?
Okay.
I love them. I think they're great. I've got a big collection.
Mm-hmm.
You do. You have a beautiful collection. Your White Ghost, Euphorbia.
She's a jelly. Beaut.
I know. She is a beaut.
Mine has been doing great as of late, which I'm excited about too. But yeah, Becca's is a gorge.
She's a tall girl. She's 5'5", same height as me.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. My plant genus that I want to convince you guys to want or love is, I'm going to go with Anthurium because it's my favorite. I knew you'd say that. Okay.
Adam needs his soundboard sounds.
It is arguably one of the hardest genuses, but in my opinion, that makes it worth it. That makes it so gratifying. And there are ways to grow them that makes it feel almost effortless, just like it's any other plant in your collection. So, for example, I have my plant cabinet, which a majority of my Anthurium are in. And I water it like once a week-ish, which is pretty much how often plants need to be watered anyway. And if in that environment where it is more humid, they can go a little bit longer without water. Like I could push it to like 10 days or more because it's not a dry environment, so they're not going to immediately be pulling moisture from their leaves. They're going to sort of pull from the air a little bit more. That's just something that I've noticed. I'm not an expert.
I mean, I will say that your cabinet gorgeous. Like there was not one dead leaf in that cabinet, and I'm assuming you gave them the same care as your plant room, right?
That's correct. So it had been like 3 weeks since I watered them.
And yeah, and they looked great.
Truly.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah. They looked pretty good. Well, when I watered them today, they did look a little worse for wear. Like they definitely looked better a couple months ago, but it's fine. Like things happened. Yeah. But they're just really, really rewarding. And when they put out a new leaf, it starts off really small and like a really fun color, like either like a really deep burgundy or like a really beautiful copper color. And then it just gets bigger and bigger, which is so cool that it like it's just expanding from nothing, basically. Like it's just really interesting to watch. That's a huge reason why I love them. Like a new leaf is so exciting, and they are pretty fast growers. In my collection, they're probably the plants that put out the most frequent growth. Which does mean they're sort of heavier feeders, so you do need to keep up with year-round fertilizing, which for some could be a con because it's one's extra step. But especially if they're living in a closed environment like that, they're not going to go into dormancy because it's warm and wet in there. Another pro, which I find to be a huge pro that I'm sort of slowly diving into, is you can actually cross-pollinate them and or not even cross-pollinate, but just you can pollinate them and create seeds and then grow plants, which I think is just one of the coolest things in the world. It's like propagating on drugs.
That is coke. Cool, though. That is cool.
It's so cool. And like you can make your own DIY crosses. And I'm sure a lot of crosses that we would make at home have already been made and discovered, so it wouldn't be necessarily brand new. But it's cool that, like, you made your own. It's, like, the ultimate DIY. And it's just so fun. And I have, like, 4 or 5 little baby plants that I'm growing right now out of all the seeds that I got. And Nicole has a few, too.
Yes.
I should have took them when I was there.
Yeah, you should have. Because then we all would have one. Mm-hmm. Well, if I can get them to get to a bigger stage, I'll send you one because
mine are the same size as yours.
Yeah, they're kind of
not getting any bigger.
They're kind of just stagnant now. I need to like figure out what to do at this point.
Yeah, maybe fertilize. I don't know because I've just been giving it water.
Yeah, I put some fertilizer in that little bin, but maybe it's time for some soil heavily amended. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't put it in Dela tanks yet, but anyway, yeah, I think they're really great. And I think once you find a routine that works for them, they're very easy to take care of, actually. And they're also pretty pest resistant. They did get thrips when I got thrips, but generally I haven't had a pest on them besides the thrips thing. And I think that thrips are like a whole other beast. So I think the con is that you will have to kind of amend the area that they're in, and not everybody wants to do that, so it could be a bit more of a startup cost. Or they'll just need a lot more attention from you as far as watering goes if you're not going to put them in a closed environment. But
yeah.
That's my argument.
I do think that Anthurium do well in a closed environment with humidity, like you said. Like, it's more of a controlled thing. It's mimicking more of where they grow naturally. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember which Anthurium I had. Was it the Vitichii? Am I saying that right?
The Vitichii.
Mm-hmm. Vitichii. I always say that wrong.
The King.
The King. Oh, and I think I had a Queen too.
Mm-hmm.
But they dried up. Yeah, I just could not keep them watered enough or like happy enough with humidity. So mm-hmm. I think that that's like the key is humidity. And yeah.
There was a moment, well, our last trip, like a year ago, we got a bunch of Anthurium from Equihenida.
Mm-hmm.
And I had those for the longest time, not in any special thing. I put them in pawn, yada, yada, yada. They died because of my own neglect, but they were able to take some abuse. Like, those things got so floppy and I watered them and I looked at the roots and I was like, oh, these roots are gone. And the next day the roots were thick, like, and they just perked right back up. And I was so surprised by that.
See, I wonder if having them in pond is better than soil if they're not in a closed environment.
Maybe.
I wonder if that's mm-hmm. the trick. Mm-hmm.
But the leaf growing thing is 100% true because it's so, because they put out like the long ass stem and then the little tiny little heart leaf, like tiny, and it just completely inflates over like the next 2 weeks. It's really cool to watch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I really wonder like what the science is behind that. They're like, is it like the tissues are just spreading? I don't know. It's cool.
It's very cool. Mm-hmm.
It is cool.
But yeah. My issue with Anthurium is I like that when I have Hoya on a trellis, they're just like going straight up and that's fine. But Anthurium, you really have to like let them have a space, you know,
because
the leaves get big and wide and they take up room.
You had yours in your bathroom, right?
Yes, I did. In my bedroom. You know, above the shower in that little nook would be a perfect Anthurium spot. I should get another one, like a big old leafed babe. That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You should. Yep. I feel like the prices on them is really going down as well. Like they're just not, they used to feel really not out of touch, but you know, like it was impossible to get them for a good price. But like Equihenida has really great prices, good quality plants too. Like the ones that we got last year, I still have all of them and they're all, I'd say 95% of them are really happy still.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good argument.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we would love to know what your argument is. What genus is your favorite? What do you want to convince us of? Be sure to chat with us over on our post today over on Instagram. And if you're not already following all of us individually, you can. I'm at My Clean Leaves. Becca is at De La Plants. And Adam is at Not Dude, K-N-O-T. And then we're at Potted Together.
Mm-hmm.
Together.
And I think that's it.
We're going to have a poll on our post today. So tell us. Who won? Okay. No, I'm just kidding.
Who won? Which genus would you rather have?
Yeah, what genus would you rather have?
So in the post, tell us why you like Hoya the best. Thank you.
I have a feeling Hoya's going to win. I have a feeling. But anyway, I'll give you $10 if you vote for a cactus. No, I'm just kidding. All right, guys. We also have a Patreon page where you can join and get an extra bonus episode once a month. And then we also have a second tier where you can get an extra bonus episode every week with
every
this episode.
Every single week. Even through the breaks. Yes. Even through our 5-month break, we were every week on Patreon.
Maybe that's why I said 5 months, because we didn't stop working. We worked the whole time. Really, you know,
we did.
But anyway, all right, guys, okay. we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.